KAJDMO.
KFADNF, you're up and on the road this morning.
Hey, good morning, Bentley. Yep, figured I'd go in a little early and get a few things done before everybody else gets there.
Yeah, a little bit of zero drama time, right?
Boy, isn't that the truth, yeah. I could easily work a midnight to 7 shift and be very happy.
When I had an office that I used to visit maybe once or twice a week, and this is many years ago, I got kicked out of there because they needed the space for other people. And, you know, I'd been working from a home base for, you know, longer than everybody else before it was cool. But I would go into the office every once in a while, and I would never get anything done just because it was like constant water cooler conversation. And it was very unproductive when I would stop in there.
Yep, I understand that. Like the little gal that works next to me there, she's a nice kid, you know, and all that. But holy cow, talk. I can get so much more done in an hour and a half when I go in and there's nobody else there than I get done all day long.
Well, you know, during the Great Shamdemic, and, you know, we have a company headquarters in downtown Detroit where people traditionally, you know, show up at an office job. There were a lot of people that had a tough time with not having, you know, that go into work thing. And I think it was there were quite a few people that was their only social outlet was to go to work and see people. And they had a really hard time with that.
Yeah, I can definitely see where that would be the case. You know, my likeness for people would probably lend very well to that, actually. But I'm probably an outlier there.
Well, you know what, man? It ain't easy being a people person who can't stand people.
Yeah, I thought about you a lot in that aspect there. It's like, man, I don't know how he does it. Hats off to him because, man, I don't know if I could.
Well, it's not people that I dislike. It's people's BS.
True. Hey, on a slightly different note, I got your message about the talking with that guy about HF, and yeah, I'm kind of maybe in the realm of looking for an HF rig a little bit more earnestly, because I signed up for the ham radio prep course, and I'm going to start studying for my general and hopefully get that done. So yeah, I think I'm going to go down that rabbit hole again, and just because of the, you know, like we talked and he told you, we can get some simplex going at longer distances.
Yeah, sounds good, man. Get it all figured out so that you can train me up on it.
Well, you know, one of the things that seem, and there again, I don't have to get into it, but seem very promising with some of the HF stuff for local or even just regionally, is you don't need to spend a lot of money on the antenna. You know, cabling and wire, and you're halfway good to go.
Yeah, 100%. And this gentleman I talked to yesterday morning, he was talking way over my head about some of his antenna construction methods. But, you know, he's talking about, oh, yeah, just a, you know, couple of fittings of PVC pipe to weatherproof your connections. And, you know, you can haul it up into a tree and, you know, use black wire. It can almost, you know, it's almost invisible if you're in an environment where you want to keep things on the down low. And I'm using like 16 gauge speaker wire. You can make this stuff. It's pretty appealing to me. And I started, you know, doing a little bit of poking around on different HF radios. You can actually buy radios that are kind of the profile of like a mobile rig, fairly inexpensively. Now, I don't know how, robust they are and quality-wise, but just poking around, it seems like there's some options out there where you don't have to spend big money.
Yeah, that's kind of what I've seen, too. And especially if you want to just almost focus on, like, 10-meter, them are almost CB-like. You know, and I know CB frequencies are, I think, 11 meters, so they're fairly close. But, you know, they're a couple $100. You know, you can get into a 10-meter rig that's has all the bells and whistles on it anyway. But that's the only band you're going to have.
Yeah, correct. That's what I've seen, and I think some 11-meter CB radios are hackable to make them, you know, work on the 10-meter band right next to them. So, you know, I think that's probably what you're looking at. But I would like to have the capability to listen to other bands that I may not necessarily be able to transmit on. You know, things like S2 Underground's GhostNet and things like that are pretty interesting to me.
Yep, I'm the kind of the same mindset. I would be not more interested, but equally interested in the listening capabilities of it as opposed to the, you know, reaching out and, as you say, chatting with strange men throughout the world.
Well, yeah, exactly. But, and again, this is one of the things that really turned me off watching some of the YouTube videos on this stuff. It's not even reaching out and chatting with them and make, you know, it's just, you know, checking a box. Oh, I made that connection. Move on to the next one. I mean, it's not, I don't know, it's a different mindset. It doesn't appeal to me. I'm not out there to make this gigantic, you know, log of three-ring binders full of every single contact I made around the world that my kids are just going to throw away someday. It's not satisfying to me at all.
Right, exactly. I wouldn't mind the idea of, you know, reaching out, I don't care whether it's this country, another country, wherever, and having a conversation with somebody about, you know, whatever, radio stuff, learning different things. But yeah, I don't see the value, at least to me, in sitting there and trying to get as many contacts as I can in an hour. But, yeah, I'm right there with you, brother.
But having a few different friends that are at different locations that can all be reachable, that's very appealing to me, and I think you and I are on the same page with that. I think that would be great. When I was talking to this guy yesterday, I wish I could remember his call sign, but his name was Greg. He was telling me, he started asking some questions about, you know, how far apart are you guys? And he's like, oh, yeah, you would definitely be able to, you know, reach each other on 10-meter simplex without difficulty, just building your own homegrown antennas.
Yeah, well, it's nice to hear somebody who knows way more than I do kind of confirm that, because I've kind of had that thought for a long time that, you know, I think a lot of people think of HF as being a medium to where, you know, is far away, you know, reaching around the world, different coasts in our country and that sort of thing, and they kind of look over, you know, regional or even local comms with it, and I always thought it'd be a pretty robust way of doing that. So yeah, that gives me a lot of hope.
Yeah, and, you know, if I understand this stuff correctly, I think when you start getting up into those, lower bands, like the 70-meter and things like that, that's where you might skip over some of your more closer local abilities in favor of, you know, reaching out across continents, whereas maybe like the 10 meter and some of the, you know, more adjacent bands there, they won't reach that far, but they would do well closer in. That's my understanding of it, and I think that that might be what we should shoot for.
Yeah, that's kind of the way I understand it as well. The you know, like when, like you were saying, when you get into the lower frequencies, the higher numerical bands, but the lower frequencies, your takeoff angle of your, I don't know, there's probably a better term for it than takeoff angle, but basically that of your antenna makes a difference too. So you know, you start that sine wave at a different point, so you, you know, can either skip over areas or not skip over areas. So, yeah, it's a, I'm actually kind of excited about getting into that and playing with that stuff a bit.
Well, let's talk about that as our understanding of it matures a bit, and we can maybe put together a plan to kind of pursue it jointly. I think what I've decided is I'm going to buy the Shack in a Box, the 7100. I'm going to buy another 5100 for my vehicle and upgrade my capabilities there. And then probably like a separate HF radio when the time comes for that. So I think that's the plan I'm settling into.
But I've noticed too, you know, there's only a couple, you know, Yasuo and ICOM, I think, are really the only two that make a, you know, quote unquote Shack in the Box kind of radio, where there's a whole bunch of HF/50 meter radios out there in varying price ranges and whatnot to choose from. So I think it just doesn't limit the options we can look at as much.
Yeah, I've been researching, you know, I think I'm going to stick with ICOM because I really, really like the ICOM stuff. I'm on my new HT right now, which I'm super impressed with. I guess I'm not necessarily against going over to another brand, but I kind of like where I'm at and I want to stick with it. And looking at the 7100, there's some other compromises there on some of the other things outside of the HF capability that I'm just not interested in giving up. So I think the thing is to, you know, keep my current 5100 as a base station and just supplement it with an HF radio that would be dedicated to HF. I think that might be the better way to go for me.
Thank you, Mike.
Hey, Drake, go ahead.
Just copying the mail here. Bentley, were you saying you were going to get a 7100 and use that in addition to the 5100 at your house?
No, the thought was to replace my 5100 with the 7100 and move the 5100 to my truck. But there's some things about the 7100 that I really don't like, and I think I'm going to not do that.
I was going to recommend getting an ICOM 7300, either a Mark I or a Mark II. I have a Mark I that I use remotely, and it's a little bit cheaper. You get a little bit more features, especially with the waterfall. That makes a huge difference in, you know, just scrolling around on the bands. It's kind of nice. You can use the touchscreen, tap wherever you see a signal, and it pulls it right up for you. And plus, it's got a built-in tuner. The 7100 does not have a tuner. So I think that would be, it's really known as a really good HF radio, even entry level, and for, you know, a lot of hams that are pretty experienced. I know a lot of people that have them that are very happy with them. So 7300 is a pretty inexpensive but feature rich rig that I feel like it would fit your needs quite well.
See, this is the exact kind of advice that I needed. Thank you, Drake. I appreciate that. By the way, just looping into the conversation here to introduce you, this is my friend Chris, K-E-8-Z-A-T, that I was speaking with. Chris, I don't think you've talked to Drake before, N-8-D-M-H, but he's the technical driving force behind this link system that we're enjoying so much.
I think we've crossed paths once or twice before, but never in a quote unquote formal setting here. So, yeah, good to have you in the log.
Yeah, good to chat with you again. I believe we've talked before, but it was just kind of in and out because I was on the road or something. I don't even remember. It's been a minute, but yeah, Bentley 7300 is a really good rig. I've owned a Kenwood 590 SG. That's also a really solid radio. The only reason why I got rid of it was because the USB port died, and so did the serial port. So I couldn't control the rig from my computer to do certain digital modes that I was interested in, and that's also how I fed my microphone audio into it. But that was a really good radio. I even had an RSP-1A attached to it into the RF output on the back. It's not the transmit output. There was like a receive pass through on the back, and what I could do is I had that plugged into the computer, tied into an SDR program, and I could view the HF spectrum up to 10 megahertz wide and click on any signal I wanted to on the computer, and it would drag the radio right there. It was pretty sweet. It also allowed me to monitor my output audio RF-wise real-time. There was a little bit of a delay, which I discovered one time when I tried to talk, and it absolutely jammed my brain. That was fun. But yeah, there's definitely, I would do a little bit more research before, don't just take my word on the 7300. I mean, it is a really good rig, but look around. And if there's a rig out there that's in your price range, checks all your boxes, go for it. But just trying to nudge you in a good direction there.
Yeah, thanks for that, Drake. I have seen some other opinions online, which, you know, take them for what they're worth, that the 7300 is a good option. So hearing one from somebody I actually am acquainted with and has some real-world experience, that's another endorsement. I guess the big issue that I have right now is I don't know which boxes need to be checked. So, you know, what you just described there, I think I understood what you were saying, but it was kind of like listening to my wife talk to me about her makeup. A lot going over my head there. So if you ever teach a class someday on this stuff, boy, Chris and I would sign up in about 0.3 seconds.
Yeah, I understood there. Well, I guess here's this. I'll throw this out there. This is what that radio can do and what it doesn't do. It's a single receiver, single antenna port. So I've actually had a radio that's had two antenna ports, so I had two different HF antennas for different bands, and it was nice because it would automatically switch the antenna ports based on what band I had the radio set to. But for the use case that you're going to have, one antenna is probably going to do you just fine. The antenna tuner in that radio is great. It's not amazing, but it's good enough. It does have an emergency tuner function that I used. It's usually a feature I use for like field day, where my antenna is subpar. It limits you to like 50 watts, but it lets you tune a wet noodle essentially, which is kind of great. But the radio's got a USB port on the back, and what that means to you is basically any HF digital mode that you see on a YouTube video, that radio is capable of doing it. You just got to set up the software correctly, and there's tons of YouTube guides out there to help you figure some stuff out like that. Yeah, it's a decently inexpensive feature-rich rig. I think my favorite part is the SDR function, that it is an SDR. You can tap anywhere on the screen, look at the whole band all at once. I think it lets you zoom that waterfall out to like 500 kilohertz both directions, or total. I don't remember. I don't ever zoom it out that far. I just leave it at a certain setting and forget about it. But, you know, built-in tuner, really good audio, especially if you tune it up correctly. It's got a lot of digital signal audio processing settings, and a whole bunch of stuff like that. It's a solid rig.
All right, good to know. Thanks. I'll put that down as Drake endorsed. Just got a text from Chris. Apparently he had to walk into work, so he had to drop. But, yeah, thanks again for the guidance on this and the help in understanding it. It's much appreciated.
Yeah, of course, no problem. I don't know. I think you talked to Adam. I don't know if you were planning on being at the next CPSCO meeting, but I'm going to try my best to be there. So if you make a list of questions, I might be able to answer them. And maybe Adam, too. He's better at explaining things than I am. My brain goes very fast with a lot of detail at the same time, and sometimes that detail is out of order. And I'll explain things over the air, and he'll send me a text, and he's like, yeah, I just had a stroke listening to you over the radio. And I'm like, cool, why don't you want to explain this better?
Yeah, I've got that impression about you. I've met folks like you that that have that same affliction, and your brain works faster than your mouth can go. So yeah, totally understand that. It's actually a function of having too much knowledge, and you overclock your processor. So I get it. But, yeah, so Chris and our buddy Josh and I are all planning on coming to that meeting on the 14th. So hopefully you can make it, and we'll get a chance to meet you there. Adam mentioned that there's a couple of projects that the group is planning on working this year. I think he said both the Crossroad and Hackleberg sites, and we're all interested in giving you guys a hand to whatever ability that we have to do that, whether it's, you know, pulling wire or helping out or holding flashlights or whatever. We're all in for giving you guys a hand on that. So looking forward to hearing more about that program.
Yeah, real good. I don't know if we have specific dates yet, but I do have a long checklist of things that need to be done at both of those locations, actually. And unfortunately, that list grows. It gets smaller sometimes, but then it just grows again. It's a never-ending cycle. So, but if we can chip away at that list, that would be fantastic. We're starting, well, the next couple months is when we're going to start getting into that time of year when we can actually get back in there, because I don't know if you've looked at Hackleberg Road on the map. If you look at, I think it's M33 and Hackleberg Road, that's the intersection, just about a mile, not even a mile, west of that intersection is where that tower is. And if you follow that trail back, you'll know that it's, there's not really a road. It's just kind of like a two-track that often gets overgrown and makes accessing that location a real fun time. so if you ever have to access that site in the wintertime, I mean, it's doable, but you're not driving back there. You're walking. Good luck getting the gate open, too. So it's kind of back there. Crossroads the same way. I actually had to go up there, what was it, last year? I planned on going up there last year when I was up in Petoskey for a ski trip for the weekend, and drove over there, and I was like, oh, yeah, the snow is taller than my vehicle. I am not going back there. So that's usually why all of the tower work just kind of gets clustered into a month or two.
Yeah, I totally understand that. I have been across most of these sites, whether it's out hiking, grouse hunting, backcountry skiing, two tracking, whatever. And I imagine some of those sites are inaccessible at the time of year, especially with the amount of snow that we've gotten. But just say this, your long list that gets chipped away at is the reason that this system is as robust as it is and is operating, and there are others out there that still haven't recovered from the ice storm almost a year ago. So kudos to you guys for doing that, and like I said, we've been benefiting from this system quite a bit. We'd be happy to give back a little bit and help you guys out with that honey-do list.
Yeah, that would be fantabulous. Sheboygan actually sustained the most, I would say, more critical damage from the ice storm. The 7-4 repeater, 146-7-4, is actually at the top of that tower. It's a 499-foot tower. And the antenna's at the very top. It's a 8-bay VHF. Well, it's really two 4 bays connected together with a phasing harness. The top 4 bay is no longer with us. And when I say no longer with us, I mean it fell off the tower because of the weight of the ice and the wind. It just snapped it right off and basically went all the way down to the ground and ripped the connector off of the phasing harness. So half of that antenna is still there. It still kind of works, but there's a whole bunch of moisture getting into the cable because, well, the connector ripped right off of the phasing harness and water's getting into that phasing harness. It's causing all sorts of fun problems and whatnot. So that is going to be a fun project because we're going to have somebody climb up there and either replace the whole thing, depending on how damaged it is, and or just repair it. I know for sure that phasing harness is probably going to have to get replaced, but that antenna was already damaged from the get-go, actually. It was already kind of bent at the top. Three of the elements were, like, at a 45-degree angle, and I guess the ice storm kind of helped it die.
Well, all right. It'll be cool to see some of these places and get to know them a little bit more and figure out how they work. So we'll keep our schedules available for you guys once you start getting a plan together and get some contact information shared and all that good stuff. So, well, I'm going to jump off. I've got to get to the gym for my daily dose of pain. So thanks again for the conversation and the guidance. And I'm sure I'll be talking to you soon. KF8, DNF.
Daily dose of pain's a good one. Yeah, I didn't go yesterday. I've been slacking, so I got to go tomorrow. Tuesday and Thursday are my dedicated gym days. So thanks for the encouragement, I suppose. 7-3. Catch you later, Bentley. N8DMH.
I'll leave you with this parting word, Drake. Keep at it while you're young. It doesn't get any older. It doesn't get any easier as you get older. 73, KF80NF.
Back to the jail. I guess so. Well, good for you. Yeah, we can put it that way. Well, I mean, it's better you than me. Want a trade? I don't know. I got a pretty big day today. Got to go look at a boiler that does a hot tub. It's not working. I have to go make sure it works. Oh, wow. Wow. So you're telling me you get to go look at a boiler and say, yep, it's boiling. I'm telling you, real big day. Oh, I see why they pay you the big bucks. They do? I wouldn't know. Yeah. I don't know. I'll get into some other more mischief. That's how it's been going lately. One or two calls on the books and, you know, for the morning, and then the phone starts ringing, and then I'm all running all over the place. You know, I got a great solution for that. Turn the phone off, and then you won't know if it's ringing. You first. Let me know how it works out. I actually left my work phone at home one time. Miraculously didn't get any calls that day. I'll see between 8 and 5 when my phone rings. It's the boss. So I kind of have to answer that. Oh, you see, I forgot my work phone, and then my boss figured, oh, he must have forgotten his work phone. I was calling his personal phone, and that's when I realized. I don't know what it is with people leaving their work phones behind. The guy I work with, he's always leaving his work phone around. Having some trouble with a boiler yesterday, and I went to call him to see if he needed a hand, and I started calling his phone, and it's ringing in the other room in the office. Like, bro, carry your phone with you. You see, I only forgot my work phone once, and then I never did that again. Yeah, he leaves his phone behind a lot. I don't know what's up with that, but... oh, well. Well, you'll have that. So. Anyway. Well, how much snow did you guys get up there? My way back, it started getting slickerier and more slickerier. After I got home, I had to run to the grocery store and, it's pretty bad. You know, it was bad for a minute. I got home from work at about 4 o'clock. And I left at 5:30 to head down for band practice. And it was complete whiteout. I could not keep my lane clear. Just coming down like crazy. And then it just quit. Like, I think 7:30 or so, it just quit. So I think we only got, I don't know, maybe 2 inches worth. Oh, so we got nowhere near the 4 to 7 inches that they were saying. Yeah, no, the tracks in the driveway were barely even covered up, so definitely nothing to write home about. We got like maybe 3 inches. And there was a lot of wrecks, though. There were slide-offs everywhere. I think the funniest one was somebody slid down an embankment, and a Good Samaritan came over to help, and then said Good Samaritan also fell down the embankment. And law enforcement was there, and he's like, yeah, you want to get a second tow truck now? Because a fun thing happened. Yep. They always tell you, don't become the next victim. No good deed goes unpunished. Well, I am at the office, so I gotta run in and figure out how screwed over I get to be today. So we'll be back on here in just a few minutes. Yet. All right, have fun. It's a good time I had a phone call to come in here. Thank you, mate. ACADG, ACADG, ACMH, mobile on link.
ACN mobile.
Wake up!
Good morning.
It's a snowy one.
A little bit. Looks like Bartlow's in good shape. Yeah, visibility's what? Maybe half a mile?
Good enough for government work, I suppose. Well, I'm ahead of Petoskey now. A contractor called saying they're not going today, so back to the shop I go, and I don't know what we got in store today.
Oh, there you go. Sounds like Taco Bell. I don't know how my day is going. It's weird. I've got a bunch of VIPs in town from who knows where. And another guy that's going to be mad that I'm going to be 3 minutes late to the data center here. But you know what? I'm not too concerned. And, we're supposed to do some training this morning, and then there's this weird block on my afternoon that says remediation, and I haven't opened the Outlook calendar invite to find out what that is, because that would require logging in, because we're not allowed to use unapproved devices anymore. So my response when people ask me if I know what's going on that day or if I'm prepared is to say no. My day starts at 8, and that's when I log in, and I can no longer look ahead because you guys took that away. So I start my day at 8. Maybe it's better to plan at 9 when I have had some time to look those things over. Security's great. So, yeah, I'm not really sure what that is. I guess I'll find out. And, I think I have a maintenance window tonight at 8 o'clock and at 10 o'clock. So with any luck, I should be home by midnight.
That's certainly a day. Oof. Well, good luck with that. I've got... Probably a whole bunch of radios to program and stuff like that, so I don't know. We'll see, but I'm just glad I'm not going to be sitting in a jail control room today. That's been getting kind of old.
Morning, Toby. I could tell that was you, but it was really noisy.
No, I have my issues.
What?
I'm willing to bet there's ice on that antenna again.
even when I lived there, that antenna did not like it when there was ice on it. It just made everything suck.
Well, we gotta get totally back on D-Star or something. All right, guys, I'm just pulling in, so I'll talk to you later. Have a good one, and ain't see ya.
Okay, get home as quickly as you can, and then turn off, well, I guess you don't get any notifications once you're at home. Well, or maybe you do. I don't know. Just turn the phone off. Then you don't have to go back to work.
You know, Drake, that's a great idea. I should do that this morning. I think I'll get the thing and turn off the pager and the phone and go somewhere and not tell anybody when I'm going to turn off the radio.
That's one way to get out of work. However, that could also have some not very beneficial side effects.
Those things you put on shoes that have spikes on them. Ice spikes?
I don't know what the proper term is for those, but one thing.
Yeah, either that or I'll pull out a bag of water softener salt. I've got an extra one sitting in the garage. Maybe I'll sprinkle it out.
Oh yeah, there you go. That'll work. Coming up on the South Airport 1 intersection here. I haven't gone to the shop this way in a long time.
Yeah, I don't know which computer you're going into, but you're about 10% noise. That kind of adds to being downtown Traverse.
I know why. I was on the north receiver. I was still on the Elmwood receiver. That should fix that problem now.
Ah, QSL, much, much better signal.
Yeah, the both memories have the same name. They just have different memory numbers. I gotta fix that.
To me, that's low priority, so... Okay, sir. Well, hey, have a great day, and enjoy not having to drive up north. It's a little worse up north, I think. Geez. Ah, I can't even pronounce. My cheeks are still frozen.
73 Jim, have a good day. And 8 DMH, mobile. Hey, DMH Mobile.
And ABS.
He's moving again.
If you're trying, you ain't making it.
Really? I should be.
Yeah, you did that time. But all it was static and her chunks before that.
I didn't do anything different, so I don't know.
It's a mystery.
Oh boy. Wow, our parking lot looks like a car dealership again. I haven't seen that in a while.
Lots of cars to put stuff in.
Yep, we got 2 Chargers, a white Durango, and 4 Exploders.
Gotta love Exploders.
Right. Sounds fun. Well, where are you off to?
Well, once again, I was following my GPS blindly, and I was 1 minute out from my destination, which was not where I was supposed to be. So I just reset it, and I'm now 21 minutes out from my destination.
You should file a complaint.
Oh, I have. Nothing's getting done. No idea what to do about it.
Well, at that point, that's not your problem anymore. So, all right, I just pulled into the shop, so I'm going to go do something, I guess. Anyway.
Okay. Yeah, do something even if it's wrong. Well, have fun. I'm going to do the same thing. And it is the mobile.
Hey, Greg, Alpha Charlie 8 Delta Golf with the Jowls Unthawed.
Hey, I bet that's a lot more pleasant.
Hey, are you ready for a technical question on a nice morning?
Go for it.
Have you studied Wi-Fi 6 and Wi-Fi 7 to figure out, the frequency, I'm more interested in the, how they get the throughput and what the bandwidth is on those signals. Just kind of curious.
So Wi-Fi 6 is kind of fun. There's actually two different standards. There's a 6 and 6E, and then 7. I don't know a whole lot about 7, but I know with Wi-Fi 6, it uses 2 to 3 bands. Assuming you have a Wi-Fi 6 router, whether or not it does 6 gigahertz or not is a different story. But what it does is it uses both the 2.4 and the 5 gigahertz bands concurrently to increase throughput, and then I think it uses this different modulation or something for the 5 gigahertz channel, and I think there's more bandwidth available, physical, like actual radio bandwidth available for more throughput that way. I mean, the most I really know about it is, it's fast.
Okay, I was kind of curious. You're right, 6 has nothing to do with 6 gigahertz. You're right, it's in the 5 gig, and so is Wi-Fi 7 is also 5 gig, I'm pretty sure. But I was reading up on 6 and 7. I'd never read about 6E. I'll have to look at that. But the channels are interesting. They are super wide, like 160 megahertz wide channels, which just amazes me.
Yeah, and unfortunately, I'm noticing now that we're starting to get into the same issue we had before with 2.4. The channels started out as I don't know if they started out as 10 or 20 meg, but they started increasing the bandwidth, then you run out of channels, and it gets congested. 5 gigahertz is starting to get that way, and which is why 6 gigahertz is the thing. So having a tri-band router or access point is a nice thing, because if your devices support 6 gigahertz, it'll use all 3 bands at the same time. So, however, it's only, buddy, that was your red light, but I, yeah, I forgot where I was going with that, brain derailed.
Okay, well, let's jump away from just Wi-Fi signals. Then how about your cell phone connecting on those frequencies?
So you want to know about the phone connecting to Wi-Fi or to cellular?
Well, I'm really curious as whether or not we've built any infrastructure for the cellular system up at those frequencies. I've heard about them in some downtown metropolitan areas, and I heard that some areas around here have it. I don't know.
I am going to be completely honest. I know nothing about cellular. I just know it exists. And 5G is faster than LTE sometimes. That's all I really know about it.
Okay, just wanna, just kind of curious. And yeah, I guess I should be. I'm more interested in the. I'd never heard of Wi-Fi 7 until about a couple months ago. And I was like, oh, that's different, but it's kind of the same. Different, but same.
I think we're at the point now with Wi-Fi technology that you can only push so much throughput through a certain amount of bandwidth, RF bandwidth, so really your only option is to increase your RF bandwidth. I think that's kind of what we're starting to do. They're getting creative. They're getting creative about it by, combining throughput from the different bands. That is a pretty sneaky way of doing it, and I like that because you don't have to dedicate extra radio spectrum that wasn't already allocated to increase your bandwidth. That and, once 5 gigahertz kind of came around, 2.4 was just kind of left in the dust. And I noticed that devices, when you would set up your router, when your router would automatically switch, or your device would switch between 5 and 2, it wasn't a very graceful transition. With Wi-Fi 6 and combining the foot between the two, if it loses the 5, it just keeps using the 2.4. It'll be slower, but you don't notice that you don't get packets lost or anything like that. It just kind of keeps going.
Yeah, that brings up another problem I've got with my home router. I've got the, it supposedly is both bands, and I know when I set it up, you could either split the two frequencies to two different, so it broadcasted two different SSIDs, so to speak, or you could combine them. Well, being simplistic, I combined them. I don't know if that was smart or not.
Well, that's what I did, actually. The only devices I found that don't really play nice with it is very old devices, like the Nintendo Wii. Early Wi-Fi devices that are 802.11b or 802.11g that are 2.4 gig only. And well, even then, most of the time those will work just fine. that have old firmware that don't support WPA2 or WPA3. Those are the devices that I noticed don't really play nice with that combined SSID dealio. But even then, they won't even work on those anyway, because everything uses WPA2 now. So, it's a time. So those devices, I've either, if they have Ethernet ports, had to run Ethernet connections to them, or I set up another router, or another access point, on a separate SSID, 2.4 gig only, on WPA, or even more horrifically, with a WEP key. And, yeah. I only have a couple devices that are that way.
Boy, you're going back in time with the WEP keys. I don't think I've got anything in there. You know, it's like my Raspberry Pi. Some of my Raspberry Pis are 3B pluses, and some of them are 4s. I don't think I have any 5s. No, I don't have any 5s. I figured they were too power hungry. So they didn't add anything other than sucked up more power. So some of my 4s connect to, well, depending on how close they are to the router, it determines whether they connect to the 5 gig or 2.4. It's just kind of a crapshoot.
Well, I mean, either way, if you're not pushing a whole lot of throughput through those devices, if it's on 2.4, it's probably going to be fine. Most of my Pis that I use on Wi-Fi, I leave them on 2.4 anyway, because the signal is more consistent in my apartment building. There's actually more 5 gigahertz bandwidth or band congestion than there is 2.4, because everyone's spectrums, everyone's, like, you know, stock or included spectrum access point is all on channel 1. So channels 6 and 11 are available. So I have channel 6 and channel 11 all to myself. So I just put my Pis on 2.4. I have another SSID on my separate access point that all my Pis get hooked up to, but they're also on a different VLAN. So they're on the Amper network, MI6 lane.
Okay, well, that kind of makes sense. Yeah, I've tried to balance out. I choose, like, every other frequency. I skip frequencies, so I try to minimize some interference. Not sure if I'm smart about doing that, but that's what I do.
Well, as long as it works. I mean, there's not a whole lot of Wi-Fi out near you. Well, you're pretty much the only one on your property. So, that super helps your situation as well.
Probably true, but, you know me. I've got 67 devices connected to my router right now. I can't imagine that, but that's what I've got.
67 devices. That's a lot of devices.
Yeah, I should probably throw away a few of them. Okay. Anyhow, hey, drive safe to wherever you're headed to. ACATG.
703, Mr. Jim. Enjoy the day. Hey, DMH Mobile, we're just crossing into Kalkaska County.
NADMH, this is BBSU. Good afternoon, young man.
Actually, it's still morning, but hi, Toby.
Hi, sorry, the mic's having an issue here. 24 degrees, heading over to Kalkaska, huh?
Yep, I got a update to do on their console. Nothing too crazy.
Gotcha, gotcha. Recharge the portable and it's up to an APRS right now.
I see ya. I don't see any beacons as of late, but my APRS radio is deaf when I'm talking on repeaters because the antennas are right next to each other.
Oh yeah, yeah, mine's up against that aluminum clad window on the west or the south end of the shaft here, sitting there. But it's working out good. I'll tell you, I just threw in the back of the truck and had it beat me, didn't even totally forgot was back there until I got home.
Oh, there you go. I sent the radio a message, and we'll see if it gets it. I didn't get an acknowledgement yet.
What, my radio?
Yeah, I don't remember if it was support messaging or not, so I guess I'm going to find out. Yeah, I still don't have a acknowledgement back from it yet.
I just had NADMH-2 come up.
Yeah, that's my radio at the shop. The car I'm driving is -3.
Okay, I got something messaged to me from you, but these are 2025. I don't know what the deal is here. I got, like, 4 inboxes.
Yeah, I'll look into that, or I'm probably out of range of the distributor. So I probably just didn't make it into the system at all.
Okay, very good. Yeah. Probably want to get another radio in here. Maybe I'll start doing some, maybe get something going here for once I get the new antenna off.
I didn't catch that.
I said probably when I get the antenna fixed and I get the other antennas going again, maybe I have to do some digipeding out of here or just have to be a beacon station for people around here since my other partner across the lake that moved down to Bear Lake. I can't remember UAM. Yeah, his call.
Patrick, your system sent out 3 tries. Test ACDG.
Oh yeah, you saw that?
No acknowledgement. Back to you, Toby, ACDG.
Yeah, he has 3 or 4 on my thing. I just don't hear it because I don't have a beaconing like that. I had to go grab it off the windowsill to see what it was.
Oh, there you go. Just a couple miles outside of Kalkakistan. I like calling it that, it's funny. But, well, there you go. Yeah, hopefully you get a new antenna, because, it's pretty, your signal has been drifting out pretty rough, and then it comes back a little bit. I don't know if you've got a little bit more power.
Okay, I bumped it up to 50.
Oh, that made a huge difference.
Okay, there I am at mid-wattage. I think 15 watts there.
Yeah, that one's fine. Where were you at 5 before?
Yeah, I was at 5. I bumped it up here to mid.
Yeah, I'd keep it there. sometimes on 5 you would be pretty solid, but sometimes it would fade right out.
Copy that, yeah, no. Yeah. Well, have fun with the firmware update. Hopefully it doesn't take that long.
Yeah, I'm hoping. But we'll see. I'm not leaving my lane. This darn car. Like, yanks the steering wheel. All that stuff. Just because there's stuff on the windshield, like where the camera's at. Stupid safety features. So. Alright, I'm just about to pull into Kalkaska Central Dispatch here, so. Catch you later, Toby. ADMH Mobile.
KCABSU 73.
KFAENF.
Just a quick hello. Just down the road from an appointment, but figured I'd say hey.
Hey, yeah. Good morning. Yeah, good morning for 8 more minutes, I guess. How's it going? Haven't caught up with you in a while.
You know, right now it's okay. It's been better lately, but you know. Keeping on, so. About yourself?
About the same. nothing too terrible going on here, but life is as hectic as it's ever been, so. Taking it moment by moment.
There you go. What do you gotta do? Put out the most important fires first has basically been this year's motto, so. And so it goes. Really hoping by spring things turn around. We'll see. It'll be a nice, refreshing change of pace.
Yep. I hear ya. I'm going through some classes right now that are 3 days a week in the nights, you know, after you've already done 10 hours of working, then errands, then family stuff, then, oh, you gotta sit down for class for 3 hours. That ends in May, and I am counting down the days.
Whoa, okay. Yeah, that's a lot. I'm right now just sort of dealing with kid stuff. Kid stuff and health stuff. Thankfully, not the same issues like the health stuff is before the kid stuff, so, you know. But that's the two categories, so. Anyway, I just pulled into, well, it's an appointment for category two, so. Going to go to that and see how things are looking today, and that'll be the end of my lunch hour. So, I hope you have a good day. I got to get back to the data center after this, so I probably won't turn on the radio, but good to hear you. Have a good one.
Yep, I get it. Well, hopefully things start looking up for you. If you need anything, let me know. Not like I can do a whole lot from 2.5 hours away, but you never know. Best of luck, and try and have a good afternoon. NHCN at 80PX.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah, I appreciate it. No, it's, I think it's one for the Saints, but I appreciate the thought. Thanks. Have a good one. NHCN. NHCN.
I gotcha. Well, we'll keep you in our thoughts. NHCN.
Sorry, I dropped the mic there. Sounds great. NHCN. Thanks again.
CV9NN mobile monitoring. Station calling, you're not making the repeater. And then just getting full-scale static. And it is yet.
KF8ENF.
Hey,
Bubble Cowcast.
KFATNF mobile on DMR.
Apollo 7, Oscar Lima Delta, bye-bye.
KFATNF, mobile on DMR.
KFATSTE, mobile and monitoring.
KFATSTE, monitoring.
KBYS monitoring.
KF8ENF mobile.
KF8FDE, how you doing, Bentley?
Hey, good evening, Josh. How's it going, man?
Pretty quiet. Just enjoying my first week being just back at the shop and nothing else. It's been super busy. Not enjoying the cold weather, but nothing we can do about that either.
Well, stick around, man. I think I saw 46 degrees in the forecast tomorrow or the next day.
Yeah, that's what I heard on one of the NOAA stations.
I'm ready for it.
I can deal with that again. No, I'm just sitting here letting the radio scan. The Mansalona repeater, the K8WQK, just had their net, so I listened to that. And I'm just searching through radios and stuff, you know, on the Amazon.
All right, so are you all up to date on everybody's health problems?
Health problems?
Yeah, that seems to be what the main topic of most of the nets are that I've listened in on.
Yeah, the last one, there was one guy that was sick. One guy that hasn't been sick at all this year. I hope he was knocking on wood. But, yeah, let's see. No old dogs or medicine talk, though.
Contact. W8REJ.
Go ahead.
Now, we're going to start a net here on the Crystal Mountain repeater in about 5 minutes. So if you'd like to join, that would be wonderful. W8REJ.
Copy that, REJ. We'll jump off and let you guys have the frequency. KF8ENF, Josh, have a great evening. We'll catch up with you later.
All right, you as well. KF8FTE, clear.
Okay, thank you guys. You don't have to run off. You can join the net if you like here. We'll be starting in just a few minutes. Good evening, all West Michigan hamsters. This is the Benzie County Barf. I'm sorry. The Barf Benzie Amateur Radio Friends Net, W8RHA. My name is Rob, and I'll be net control tonight. And I'm located in beautiful downtown Beulah. The purpose of this net is to provide a weekly exchange of information and ideas focused on ham radio in and around Benzie County. Okay, we're going to start check-ins now with Echolink stations, mobile stations, and short time stations. If you're one of those, please come now with your call sign and your name slowly, please.
This is 85 IB Kip. I'm beautiful Benzonia.
Okay, got you there, Kip. 85 IB, okay, and you're short there?
Yes, I am. I've got a meeting after this.
Okay, we'll get you in there first thing then. All right, anyone else that's an Echolink or a mobile station?
Net Control, Whiskey 8, Victor Papa Charlie. Name is Mike on All-Star.
Okay, Mike, your call again, please.
W8VPC, Whiskey 8, Victor Papa Charlie.
Okay, got you in there. You short timer?
Not really. I can wait.
Okay, very good. All righty. Where was I? Forgot what I was doing. All right, we'll take general check-ins now. Same rules apply. If you would please come with your call sign and your name slowly, please, so I can write it down.
November, John and Beulah. WNAP, Larry. John, KF8KK, John with an H.
Drake, N8DMH.
Okay, what we got so far is 85IB, W8VPC, AB9NN, WN8B, KF8KK, and November 8, DMH. Anyone else?
Whiskey, Golf, 8, Whiskey, Rod here.
Okay. Golf, 8, Whiskey, we got you down there. Anyone else?
KB8SBJ.
You got Bob. All right, anyone else before we go to the top and start the net? Okay, well, good evening, all. This is Rob, W8RAJ, and welcome to everybody. A couple things on the calendar here. Let's see here. Actually, only one thing that pertains to this net, and that is the Barf Breakfast. That's coming up on the 28th. This coming Saturday at 9 a.m. at Platte River Inn in downtown Honor. We would be very pleased if you can hear our voice and the weather's decent. You would come and join us at the Platte River Inn for breakfast. It's nice to get an eyeball CUSA once in a while. So, all righty, that's about all I've got here. No need to go over the weather report because it's still the same, 19 degrees. Let's see, Kip, 85IB, take it away.
All right, this is Kip, 85IB. I spend a lot of time working on my shop in one way or another. When the weather was nice, I was actually doing construction out there. I added a whole bunch of, I added four outlets on this one wall that I'm working on, and I added a bunch of Ethernet drops for that wall that's going to be for my shop where I'm teaching. And speaking of teaching shop, I got a notice that they're going to, I think it's the 19th of March, I'm going to have my public hearing for my zoning change. So, trying to get my shop to be multi-use instead of R1. And let's see. Oh, the other thing is I've been working on the networking for the shop, and I started out with a Ubiquiti Edge Router X. It's a little 5-port, fairly capable little router, but it was a pain in the neck to set up, and I finally got into ChatGPT and basically explained how I wanted it set up. And it walked me through how to set it all up. It made a couple mistakes, but I just copied the mistakes and sent it back to it, and it gave me an alternative way to configure it. So that was kind of cool. Today I started working on, I've got this managed switch, which I've never played with a managed switch before. So I'm learning how to do a managed switch, and had all kinds of problems because it wasn't, or as I found out, it was not unconfigured. So the default IP address was not the IP address it actually had. And it took me a long time to figure that out, and then a while to figure out how to do a factory reset, because wasn't as clear as day either. So, I think tomorrow I may get a chance to work on the garage again. It's supposed to get up about above freezing. If it's below freezing, it's just too cold out there, even with my heater going. So,
Node 5, 8, 3, 4, 1, 0. Time on.
9 o'clock.
Okay, Kip, very good. Hey, thanks for checking in, and thanks for the information on what you're doing. It's always interesting to hear what other guys are doing. The most adventurous thing I've done lately is our furnace thermostat died, and I had to get a new one and put it on. So that's another one of those 20-minute jobs that took me an hour and a half. So you know how that goes. Okay, WAZPC, Mike, take it away.
Well, I'd like to say good evening to everybody. This is WAZPC. Down here in Royal Oak, we had some snow, and the snow melted. Now we got another dusting of snow, but not like what you guys are getting up north. And not much going on down here. Just waiting for spring. We got a siren test. Oakland County tests their tornado sirens the first Saturday of March. So I got to get on the ball and start to reset the spreadsheet and send an email out to the Southeast Quadrant. And so other than that, not much else is going on. So this would be my last time. I got to check out WAVPC back to that.
Okay, Mike, very good. I remember when we lived down in the Coldwater area, they would test the tornado sirens, I think on Sundays. I think that was the day they checked them. But, it's good to be prepared, that's for sure. So, nice of you to check in. We got you down as one and done. 89, NN, John with no H, take it away.
AB9NN, John with no H and 1 mile east of Beulah, Michigan. And good evening to everybody on the net. Good to hear a bunch of people checking in. And I had an interesting event this week. I was checking out the APRS.fi to see where Jane was making her way to her various goings on during the day. And I happened to notice that the county's repeater was not on the APRS map. They had the digipeater that typically showed up and wasn't on there. So I got that over to Bob, and he asked me to check the repeater and see if the repeater was online via RF, via my 70 centimeter radio, and so I checked this repeater, which is what I thought he was talking about, and I went back and told him, yeah, it was on, and he said, well, it's on the 447.60, I think it is, or 442.60 repeater, and I didn't have that programmed into the radio, so I had to quick pull up a Google cheat sheet and figure out how to program the a new repeater into my radio. I didn't want to go through my RT systems software and do the whole disk update. I just wanted to do it directly through the radio's interface. So I was able to get that done and was able to raise the repeater and kerchunk it and verify that the repeater was working, but the APRS side of it wasn't. So anyway, Bob got up to the
to the repeater station, and found that the tiny track 4 device needed to be rebooted, which that happens to mine too. Every once in a while I'll have to unplug it from the USB port and plug it back in, and it'll recycle the device, and then it'll start acting normally again. So hasn't done that in quite a while now that I think about it. So anyway, that was the rabbit hole that I ran down. So that's about it for me. Back to net control from AB9 and then John and Beulah.
Okay, very good. Yeah, rabbit holes can be tricky, that's for sure. So, well, anyway, let's see. We got Larry coming up, WNAP, and then I'm going to take a short standby to see if there's anybody else would like to join the net. Take it away, Larry.
Okay, Rob. W8REJ and the group, this is WNAP, Larry. I don't know why it came to mind, but I, for those of you who have seen that advertisement on TV where they use a roller with black ink to cover over your information, your money information, and then they show this guy opening the trash can and reaching in and getting these papers, right? Well, if somebody tried that with my garbage tote, they're more than likely going to get a handful of used cat litter. I'll be around. W8REJ from WNAP.
Okay, that could also be a kidney bomb, so, depending on how you use it. So, okay, this is the Barf Benzie Amateur Radio Friends Net. I am W8REJ, and my name's Rob. If you'd like to check into the net here before we go down to the bottom of the list, do so now with your call sign and name slowly, please. Okay, moving on. KF8KK, John with an H. Take it away.
Okay, guys, KF8KK here, and what can I say? John, without an H, I got that nice note with the sloth programming stuff. I'll discuss that with you on Saturday at the meeting, hopefully you're attending. I plan to attend, and I'll bring a little show and tell. I bought another one of those Kiwi SDR servers, but this has a special purpose. I'm just about done with my iPhone app for that, and I got a question for you guys, and I need the answer before Monday. So if you can think about it and then show up at Barf Breakfast and let me know your thoughts, that'd be great. But I need a name for my app. Otherwise, I probably might take my default, which would be AM-SW Receiver, iPhone app that will connect with Kiwi servers, and you can listen to HF and MF, or whatever, yeah. Not, it won't have the waterfall, and it's not set up for taking frequencies, but like if you wanted to listen to the Wolverine net while you're driving down the road, you know, you get a preset, and there you go. You know, and or if they, for instance, you're driving a car that doesn't have an AM radio in it, and you want to listen to an AM station that's in a certain market, you get a connect to a Kiwi in that market and then tune into the station. So whatever, I've been kind of like Kip there, talking with ChatGPT in that, and that's pushed this project along at a rocket fast pace. Nowhere near I could do that kind of work that fast. It'd be a couple of months' worth of work is done in a couple of weeks, which is amazing. So keep that in the back of your mind. What should I call it? Remember that this would be for the general audience, and you know, people out in the real world don't know what a Kiwi is. Well, they know what a Kiwi is, but they don't know what a software-defined radio is.
And, you know, what can I say? It'll be a free app for sure when it's done. You know me. It's cold outside, and unlike Kip, I'm not wanting to get out there and venture into the workshop when it's below 60. So I'll stay inside where it's warm. Back to you, Rob, KF8KK.
Okay, John, very good. Yeah, I'll have to give that a couple of thoughts and see if we can come up with a poser or an answer one way or the other. Okay. All right, let's see. NA DMH, Drake, and standby Rod.
Yeah, good evening, everybody. NA DMH. Not a whole lot to report. Actually, well, I didn't work in Petoskey today, which is a change of pace. I was over in Kalkaska doing a firmware update to their radio console. So kind of a low-key day, just kind of sat there and watched loading bars go across the screen. Then at the end of that, tested everything, made sure everything was working, and then got the heck out of there. Went home, worked on some paperwork, and called it a day. And now it's just me and the cat, and the cat is currently, he adjusted his Zoomy hour to almost 9 o'clock instead of 2 a.m., which is better than 2 a.m., but it's still Zoomy hour, so we will overcome. Now he's screaming in the background. I don't know if you can hear him, but he's screaming, so... Rob, I'll give it back to you and give him some attention so he stops screaming so my neighbors don't hate me. NADMH.
Okay, Drake, very good. Yeah, the Runny Fasty at night, we had a Manx cat years ago and had the longer back legs, and that thing would run and sound just like a rabbit running across the floor. And he would wait until 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning before he started his ramp. So anyway, there you go. So, all right, let's see. WG8W, Rod, and standby Bob.
Hey, good evening, everybody. This is Rod here in Indian River, WG8W. I had to put snow out of my driveway with a snowplow here today before I went down to Gaylord to go shopping with my wife, and we got back and we figured out now I'm going to have to do it again tomorrow. We got 15 degrees here in Indian River here right now according to AccuWeather. I don't know what it is on my thermometer outside. I haven't looked, but I'm tired of winter. This winter has been a long and hard one for us, so I don't remember having bad winter days. But I'm not complaining because I love winter, but in February I usually get tired of it, you know? It's time for something else. Anyhow, just on another note, here where I live here in town, just outside of town, out in the woods, and we have 3 adult bull elk visiting our backyard almost every night. I got pictures of them on my trail camera, and they when they're out there, they'll even lay down. I got pictures of them laying down, all 3 of them. That's crazy. They're sleeping in my backyard, 150 feet from my back door. And, I love it. I'm just hoping that in March when they decide to drop them in, they'll drop them in my yard and I will have to go look for them. Anyhow, good evening, everybody, and thanks for... I've never been on this net before, and I said, what do you call it? What do you call your net here? And I'll try to remember to check in again. This WG8W.
Okay, Rod, very good. We're glad you did check in, and we call this the BARFnet. That stands for Benzie Amateur Radio Friends, and BARF. So that's why we have a barf breakfast the last Saturday of the month. Okay. So anyway, you come back anytime, man. We're we're usually here on Wednesday at 8:30 on this repeater. So, all right, Bob, KB8SPJ, and then we'll do a standby.
Good evening, Rob, and everybody else out there tonight. This is KB8SPJ. For some reason, my 991A is not transmitting on the 2 meters tonight. I don't understand. I was doing packet, clear to not packet, but Windlinger here today, and now I'm trying to do FM 2 meter, and it won't transmit. I don't understand that. I'm on HT, so if I'm a little weak, I'm on HT. So, last week I had net control and I failed miserably. I had that feedback that we've been fighting, and I just cut it short because there was no sense of continuing. Drake, and one of the guys he knows who is Cam, and Drake and a friend of his that is a ski patrol for Crystal Mountain went up there and did some work on a repeater. Try to make this better. We'll have to see. It seems to be one of there's a temperature change. So that's what we've been experiencing. So hope we got it fixed. And John, maybe sometime I'm in Beulah, Benzonia, you can go up to the water tower. I mean, I can kind of show you what we got going up there. We got the repeater and the APRS, and we got a packet station right up there, too. The packet station probably be taken out. But I can show you what we got going on up there so you know what's going on. I'm just checking to see if we lost power or something to that server rack that has that stuff in it. That's why I asked you to check if the repeater was online. So now the HT keeps telling me I'm transmitting overtime. It must have a timer on this HT that keeps blocking me out. So with that, I'll send it back to you, Rob. I'll pass it for a second round. KB8SPJ.
Okay. Hey, thanks, Bob, for the update on the equipment up there on the hill. So, oh, and by the way, I have a Kenwood TM. 241A that was belonged, or well, it wasn't Mary's. Mary, KB8BXI, had it, and I gave her one of my newer radios to replace this and with a new power supply. So, anywho, I've been meaning to tell you that the last three nets, and I just kept forgetting to do it. So. Alrighty, we are at the bottom of the net, the first time through. Is there anyone who would like to join the BARF Benzie Amateur Radio Friends net before we go to the top? So come now with your call sign and your name, slowly.
N8OCX Mobile, Brook.
Okay, we have N8OCX Brook. Anyone else?
KCMQ.
N8OCX. John, come on in and utter a few syllables for us.
Okay, just happy to join in. Listening to the net here, just leaving Thompsonville. Got in some night skiing tonight with my wife and her sister, and we're all involved with the ski patrol in one way or another, and got a few hours in. Ended up being kind of cold. I got cold. It was about 15 degrees out here too, but yeah, I'm back in a nice warm vehicle, heading back up to Leelanau, and we're nice and warm and cozy in the truck, and your system is sounding good, and glad to hear you out there. Glad to be a part of the BARFnet tonight. N8OCX, back to you.
Okay, very good. We're glad you checked in, and in case you didn't hear it, this coming Saturday the 28th, we have our bar for breakfast at the Platte River Inn in Honor at 9 a.m. And you're more than welcome if you'd like to stop by and do a eyeball on us there. So, okay, we are going to go back to the top of the list here. And let's see, Kip is gone, Mike is gone. AB9NN, John with no N, or no H, take it away.
Okay, AB9NN, John with no H, returning to the MarfNet. Yeah, not much else to add. I guess I threw everything at you at the first go-around. So just looking at the forecast here and seeing that we're supposed to be getting some temperatures up into the lower 40s come Thursday, Friday, I guess. So looking forward to that. Hopefully we'll get some snow melted. So with that, back to net control for maybe 9. And then John and Bulin, hope to see everybody on Saturday at the Mars Breakfast. Always enjoyable.
Okay, John, very good. Yeah, you were talking about projects. I have a new project here. It's an ATS-25. It's a they call it a max decoder, and it is a receiver that does lower sideband, shortwave code, single sideband, a bunch of other stuff here. And I looking at the manual here to see if we can get her fired up and going, and we'll see what's going on with that. So, okay, Larry, WN8P, take it away and stand by John with an H.
Yeah, okay, again, Rob, W8REJ, this is WN8P, Larry. Well, I got another thing to say, and that is I have a LinkedIn landing page, and on there I put fully retired, the rat race is over, and the rats won. 7-3, everybody. It's good to hear the net have be successful. WNREJ from WNAP.
Okay, very good. Nice to have you check in, and we'll talk to you again probably tomorrow on the Manistee morning meet there. So, all right, let's see what we got going on here with John. KF8KK, stand by Drake.
Okay, very good, guys. KF8KK here. ATX-25, max decoder. I'll have to look that up there, Rob. That sounds like an interesting item. And Larry, glad you're enjoying retirement. And Brooke, great to hear you. It's been like 30 years or so. Sounds like everything's going well for you. If you're out skiing at 15 or 16 degrees, boy, God love you. That's great. Glad your heat is working in the truck or the whatever you're driving. So good stuff. And outside of that, not much to say. Just hoping for, well, March will be here in a couple of days, and that means the warmer weather is coming soon thereafter. So we'll get some melting, and hopefully it'll melt in such a way that none of us slips on the ice. So back to you, Rob. See you guys on Saturday, those that can make it. If not, talk to you whenever. KF8KK.
Okay, John, very good. Yeah, nice to have you in here tonight. And barring a blizzard, I'll be at the breakfast. So there you go. All right, N8DMH, Drake, and standby Rod.
Yeah, good evening. Again, Drake, N8DMH. Figured I'd let everything drop there. Reset timers if there are any. But other than that, nothing a whole lot. The The Zoomy hour has completed, and it is now nap hour. So we are making progress. However, I'm waiting to see. It may begin again. We'll find out. But I will try my best this Saturday to sneak my way over to Honor. Maybe we'll see some of you guys. Don't quote me on that. We'll see how the rest of this week goes. If I don't have enough time to get some of my tours done this week, then they become weekend projects, unfortunately. So we'll see how the work hours treat me. Back to you there, Rob. You're killing it. Hey, GMH.
Okay, Drake, very good. As always, we're glad you're in here, and hopefully we'll see you at the bar for breakfast and next Wednesday on the 4th. Or no, what is it? I forget what it is. Anyway, it's on the calendar. So, oh, just while I've got everybody here, just a reminder. Let me stand by for a second. Okay, here I am back again. All right, March 4th, Wednesday, I will be here for the net. March 4th, and I will do that. The rest of the month, you guys are on your own. So, because I won't be in the area. I'll be out west somewhere. So, think about it, talk about it, we would really thank you very much for doing the net, if you can. Okay. All right. Let's see here. Let's see. WG8W, Rod, take it away. Oh, I think I did him. I just didn't check him off. I'm sorry. All right. Bob, KB8FCJ, take it away.
Yeah, next March 4th, I will be in Muskegon, both for Michigan statewide interoperability conference. So I plan on checking in by Echoes. But this Saturday at breakfast, we can discuss who take over net control. John or I, or John or I, or somebody will do it. Great, like to see you at the breakfast. And Brooke, if you're still out there, show up too, please. It'd be great to see you again, and I'll buy you two breakfasts for all the work you've done for me. Other than that, I'll see you guys Saturday. Have a good rest of the week, and thanks, spring.
Very good, Bob. Thank you very much, and we'll look for you on Saturday. All right, down to the bottom of the list. One more here, Brooke, certainly not least. N8OCX, take it away, and then I will do one last standby.
Okay, N8OCX Mobile. Well, thank you for the invite. Sadly, I'm going to be barfing a breakfast somewhere else on Saturdays. So, but it does sound like a great time. Maybe in a different Saturday, just not this one coming up. And I want to say, John, thanks for the well wishes. And yes, it's been a long time since we've heard each other's voices on the air. And I'm still kicking around, and I'm glad to hear your. Still involved with radio and helping people out with that too, so good to hear you. And don't really have a whole lot else to add tonight. That's pretty much it for me, so I'll turn it back over to Ned and 8OCX.
Very good, Brooke. Thank you very much for checking in, and we'll look for you again down the road here. All right. This is the Barf Benzie Amateur Radio Friends Net. I'm W8REJ. Is there anyone who would like to check in before we close the net? If so, come down with your call sign and your name slowly, please.
88FJW, name please.
Good evening, everyone. This is KE8FJW. Name here is Brad. Way up here in the Great White North of Sault Ste. Tiberia, as some people would call it.
We lost you, Brad. If you're there, come back.
Oh, okay. Anyways, not much else going on here. Just enjoying the winter. So March is just around the corner, probably another month, and full spring will start to begin. But other than that, not much else going on up here. So we're just staying warm. That's enough. KE8FJW.
Okay. Hey, we're glad you checked in tonight, Brad. Come back in sometime, and you can utter some syllables at us about what's going on in ham radio in your area sometime. So, good deal. Okay. This has been the Barf Benzi Amateur Radio Friends Net, and I'd like to thank everyone that checked in this evening. The Barf Net meets every Wednesday evening at 8:30 on this Crystal Mountain frequency. And in addition to that, we are going to meet for the Barf Breakfast the last Saturday of the month. And that would be this Saturday, the 28th, at the Platte River Inn in downtown Honor, 9 a.m. So we hope you could make it and come see us. And hey, we'll even let you buy. We're not proud. All right. I'll now return the net, or the repeater, over to normal operation. The net is clear. W8REJ, God bless everybody that can hear my voice, and be safe out there. 73L.
KE4ZYQ, wondering if I'm being heard on the 147.51.
Yeah, you're being heard. This is W8REJ.
Oh, the name is Joe Julian Oscar Echo. I'm in Clinton Township on an attic antenna, Kilo Echo 4, Zulu Yankee, Quebec.
Okay, give me the call one more time, please.
Yep, is Kilo Echo 4. Zulu, Yankee, Quebec.
Okay, we got it down there. We'll add you to the list of the net. This was the Barf Benzi Amateur Radio Friends Net, and we are using the Crystal Mountain repeater, and we're glad you're sounding good on the link there, so just maybe you'll come back sometime on Wednesday night at 8:30 and jump into the net with us. So very good. KE4 is ZYQ, W8REJ.
I was wondering where I'm getting into, where this link is at. I'm in Clinton Township, south of Hall Road, east of Garfield, west of Hayes Road. Roger.
All right, Roger that. I'm familiar with the area. We are in Benzi County up by Frankfort. This is a weekly net, and you're more than welcome to join us anytime. And you're sounding good.
Yep, can you do me one last favor? Can you tell me how far it is from this link, hook up this repeater, to Macomb Community College, Garfield and Hall Road. Roger.
I have no idea. That's way far south of us.
Alrighty, well, for the record, I'm receiving you at about an S3 to S4, sometimes an S5. Very low. Mickey, Quebec. Okay, very good. We got most of that. And we'll say 7-3, and I hope you find your location you're looking for. This is W8REJ.
Oh, the last station that was wanting his location, you come in through the Royal Oak repeater, the 147.510. So, there you go, K8FPW.